Welcome to the round 22 Supercoach Coach podcast. This is the penultimate round of the Supercoach season and of the home away season. Very exciting times, both in the AFL and in Supercoach, especially if you have made it all the way through to your prelims. I am certainly a little bit light on in that department. I think I've made a couple, but certainly not in the glory zone like a few of our listeners are. We welcome Faz back to the show. Faz, are you playing any prelim finals this week?
This probably shows where my focuses lie. I'm not sure. It's possible in a couple of prelims, but definitely the overall ranking. It's purely for the overall for me. I'm not as much focus on the leagues.
Dunny, we've got you back this week as well, mate. Welcome back. Do you find yourself in many prelim finals, mate?
Thanks for having me back, Marcus. Look, I find myself in a few prelims, a couple of them that I'm very keen to win. Unfortunately, no cash leagues remaining for me, though. I'm out of all of those. I must give a bit of a shout-out to FB Donkey, who I did knock out of a league on the weekend. So sorry about that, mate.
Very sweet.
Better luck next year.
Very sweet. I heard the smile there. All right, let's go around the table as we do each week before we get to the questions and just give a quick update. I'll start 23.94 for me for the week. It was a pretty disappointing week, really. I had Josh Kennedy continue to sput it up. I had him loopholed with Jeremy Cameron, who scored 55. Josh Kennedy against Carlton scores 35. Are you flipping kidding me, Josh Kennedy? Not good enough. And then Travis spoke with the 49. Pretty happy with risking Patrick Cripps with the captaincy after he's had three of his last five scores be in the 70s. That panned out quite nicely with a 134. He tends to score pretty big against Richmond, so I was very happy about that. The team actually went up in rank a little bit, which I'll take. So I moved from 9,500 to about 9,000. Faz, how'd you go?
So just a little bit lower than you there, so 23.66 this week. Jack McRae ended up being my captain, so gave me something to pay attention to on Saturday night while I was watching the Dons get absolutely smashed. and really the letdown for the team, and it's been a bit of a theme for most of the season really, has been the forward line. Took a few punts. All three of Jack Zeeble, Jeremy Cameron and Justin Westhoff have been disappointing overall and pretty
big
disappointing this week in particular. Zeeble with a 65 was the high scorer of those three. The big issue for me, which we're going to get to in this show, is Rory Sloane. How did you go, Dunny? Did you beat the two of us there?
Well, I didn't have the greatest of scores based on what I saw around the leagues, but I did manage to get in front of you guys just. I finished with 24.09, so only a little bit in front of you, Marcus. Look, my ranking is a very easy one to remember this week. I'm 7.777. Not quite as high as I'd like to be, but I'll take that. It's an interesting rank at least. I was in a bit of a chat with Bryce and FB Donkey earlier in the week about whether I trade out Sicily or not. Thankfully, I ended up loopholing him for his 140, so I would have been really annoyed. But I did pull a trade, which I did something I swore at the start of the year I wouldn't do. I did bring in Michael Walters. And when he was on 48 at halftime, I thought, oh, this is okay, but finishing with 56. But, yeah, the team's looking reasonable. I've still got two trades left, so I'll be okay to get rid of Sloane this week and hopefully hold one for the final round.
All right, let's get to a quick group update. We'll talk about the Supercoach Coach group first. Shows Jib Rangers is still leading that at 33rd, and the top scorer for that group was Alex's team. I'm Blue Dar Duday with 2666. So another interesting score there to go with your quadruple sevens, Dunny. And in the Patreon group world, we've got Seb still leading for our 250 group prize at 91st, and he's extended his lead a little bit because he was out at 140th last week. In terms of top score for the Patreon group, we had a big one this week and another long-time veteran of the community, Hondo, smashing out a 26.46. So huge shout-out to Hondo. And if any of you frequent the Supercoach Coach forums, you'd know Hondo quite well. Certainly one of the stalwarts of our community, so big shout-out to him. Unfortunately, doesn't pip Daniela's score of 27.05 from last round, which is still sitting as the largest score for the season and the front runner for that $100 group prize for our Patreons. All right, on to questions. First one here is from at Liam Berry, and is the one that Faz has foreshadowed. So a question about Rory Sloan. Liam only has 3K in bank, so is not really looking for an expensive replacement, and he's wanting to get our views on who our top options are. Now, he's listed five here as a starting point: Taylor Adams, Luke Shuey, Luke Parker, Jacob Hopper, who was missing last week with injury, and Robbie Gray. So Hopper is probably the one I'm least keen on, and he missed last week, so I'm just going to rule him out as a pretty young kid anyway. How about the others, gents? Any initial thoughts or players around that price point that you might consider instead? Faz, I might put you on the spot first.
Yeah, certainly. So it's a pretty tricky spot. Rory Sloan hasn't been in the best of form the last few weeks. So his price is down at $479, and that's really not premium range whatsoever. And I'm in a very similar situation to Liam, who's asked us the question. I've got $4,000 in bank. So you're really sort of stuck with pretty compromised picks, and there's usually going to be a reason why that player is down at this sort of achievable price point. Of the players that Liam has mentioned, probably Luke Shuey is the one that jumps out to me, just that the others I can point to a pretty glaring factor of the reason I don't want them in my team. So Taylor Adams has been injury impacted most of the year, so I'm a bit worried about his body. Luke Parker had a real shocker on the weekend, I think 44 points, and we have a question later on about whether or not to trade Luke Parker out. So I wouldn't want to be bringing him in if others are looking to get rid of him. And Robbie Gray has also been sort of up and down this year and has been under a bit of an injury cloud. So Luke Shuey sort of remains as the last one standing, really, through a process of elimination. The other option that I'm thinking of, and it mightn't be the best way to go because it's taking a midfielder out of my team, but I'm thinking about potentially using some dual position action to try and get the Tomahawk into my side. So got a few forward mids down in the forward line that I could pivot up into the midfield, and then Tomahawk seems like he just needs to get one big score in the last two and he'll pretty much pay for himself there. So I'll probably go a bit left field there and say that Tomahawk is my top pick as a Shuey replacement if you can do it.
How about you, Dummy?
So out of those lists, I agree Shuey would be your best option, but I really do like, and I was going to suggest the same thing as you there, Faz, trying to use that DPP to either bring in a forward who, you know, they tend to be a little bit cheaper sometimes to get the top end ones. The other midfielder you might want to look at potentially was Mark Murphy. He was a bit down on the weekend, but he has had some reasonable scores in the recent weeks, so that's another option. But if I was going a straight swap, definitely Shuey would be the guy that I'd be taking.
I think maybe I'd throw in another curveball there. Hasn't been in very good form, and you wonder whether or not that's because of an unknown injury. But Ben Cunnington was absolutely ripping up the first half of the season. He was averaging about 110 up to round 16. The last five rounds have delivered 54, 105, 85, 66, and then 88. But that's come against reasonable opposition in Essendon, Brisbane, West Coast, Hawthorn, and Geelong. So four top eight teams. He's got Port and Melbourne to finish. Potentially some contested games there, especially with Melbourne. They like to play that style. So I think he'd be a little smoky that I'd throw in there. 440K, he seems very well priced. Yeah, otherwise I like the options that you guys threw out. Looking at sort of the top averaging player at that price bracket, it's actually Shannon Hearn, if you can consider a pivot to the back line. But Hearn did terribly, scoring 56 on the weekend after coming back from injury only the week before. So his games returning from injury are 90 and 56. Does play.
Yeah, he's been – sorry, Max. Yeah, he's been out of form. I'm, as a Hearn owner, I'm keenly aware of his scoring. He had a great run at the start and the middle part of the season, but yeah, since the buys, he hasn't been getting some great scores. So I'd be wary of Hearn.
Dan Hannabry, does he sort of throw any interest? He scored 122 on the weekend. Obviously, a lot of risk, but 364K, means he's still peanuts.
I think he also had three goals to help that 122 along. So I'd be a bit skeptical that he's going to keep that scoring output going. Just a goals point of view. And if I was going for a player that had that injury risk, I'd probably be a bit more tempted to a guy like Taylor Adams, who I think has played a bit more footy this year and is in a better side. So I think I'm pretty risk averse, particularly in my circumstance here. It would be the final trade that I'm using. So definitely don't want to bring in a guy who, you know, could pull up a bit sore after the one game, and then, you know, I'd be stuck with most likely a donut in my shoes if I was to cop another injury for the final round.
All right. Let's move on to the next question. This one's from @CryptonRSC. Again, Sloan replacements, but this time if you have up to 580K, so if you've got more cash in bank. So I've omitted the players that are more expensive, and by average, the top three are Neil at 119, Cripps at 117, and then it goes down to Merritt at 107.
And I can see Elliot Yeo is the next one up, and he's looked in ripper form recently, Elliot Yeo. Yeah. I know, you know, score of 98 in the weekend, so not a huge one, but he's just a tackling beast, and you know, West Coast are well and truly in the hunt for a top two position, so I don't think that they'll be easing off at all in the final 2 weeks. So as a bit of a more unique pick, because I think a lot of teams are going to have Cripps and Neil in the side, I really don't mind Elliot Yeo. And then I've been a Zach Merritt owner all season, and you know, can't really complain. He's been pretty steady. The only question is, you know, how much will Essendon lose by this week? He still scored pretty decent in one of the worst games the club's ever played.
Yeah, I would actually be tempted to bring in Merritt just based on opposition. Like at this stage, with two rounds to go, opposition does count a fair bit. I would almost leave Lachie Neal, considering the second half of his year hasn't been as blistering maybe as his first half. And then you add on to the fact that his last two are Geelong and then Richmond. So they're playing two top four teams on the run home. Neal just scored 85 against the Suns, and I'd probably have Zorko in a similar bracket. Like, they could absolutely still do well, but in terms of picking them for two rounds, Merritt, in comparison, has Frio and then has Collingwood. Yeah. Who, I mean, you know, Collingwood are a good side, but they haven't been as in form as Richmond have.
And really don't. They're not known as a sort of a tagging side. They're more, you know, our midfield will beat your midfield type side, and just sort of let them go heads up. So I wouldn't expect, you know, much pressure on Zachy.
Donny, what do you reckon, mate?
I agree with a lot of what you guys have said there. I think Zorko is a pretty good option, but doesn't have the best of run home. I'll probably be going to Zach Merritt, to be honest. That's where I'm sort of looking. I'm a little bit more cash-strapped than looking at the 580K range. But I want to throw out just a couple of real left-field options for the listeners. You know, if you're looking for that edge, looking for that unique to get you over the line this week, if you're a bit of an underdog, first one I was going to throw out was a teammate of Neil and Zorko who doesn't get the attention they do, and that's Jared Lyons. He's been on fire lately. He's got a 5-round average of 128, wow, and he scored 142 on the weekend, the same as Zorko did. So he's someone you could look at. He's only in 1.2% of teams. And the other guy who's in a lot of teams but has also been on fire and has actually been hurting me in a couple of leagues lately is James Warple. They play the Gold Coast this week, so he could be in for a massive score. So you could look for him as an option. And just lastly, if you were going to use some of that DPP action that we talked about earlier, maybe look at bringing in Toby Green into your forward line. Once again, he's got a 5-round average of 122, which is exactly what he scored this week. So another really good option that I'd be looking at. He's only going to cost you 538, which for a guy who's basically playing midfield and pumping out midfield scores is a pretty good deal.
Yeah, I really like that Green selection. Certainly anybody that went in on him a few rounds ago has certainly hit gold with that pick. I'll throw one last one in there as well, and that's Mitch Duncan. If you look, four of his last five games, he scored 107+. Had that off game, scoring 77 against Frio. Brisbane is a little bit tougher than Carlton to finish at Cardinia Park. So I've picked him ahead of Merritt the other day, and I think he's outpaced him up to this point. So he's another little smoky that you could look at as well. All right, I think we've given a fair few options to our listeners looking for Sloan replacements. So we'll move on to the next question, and this one's more about general trade strategy from Roger Bro on Facebook. He's in 8 out of 8 prelim finals, but he still has one weakness left on field, being David Mundy. He's got 1 trade and 5K remaining, and he's thinking of trading to Wingard and asking if we have any better ideas. And I think potentially, with 1 trade left, and especially if you care about finals, probably in the spot where you still prefer to hold the trade in case of anything drastic that happens in the grand final. What do you gents reckon about that? Or would you recommend Roger just burning that last trade?
The Dockers play Essendon at home this week. I'm sort of in your camp there, Marcus, with the last trade. I think I'd probably hold Mundy for this week, take a bit of a risk on him. Like I said, they're playing Essendon. Sorry, Faz. I think they should he should score reasonably well.
Wingard's not even scoring that well. I'd probably go that far. His top score for the year is 98. Is that a good move even? You could end up with negative points if Wingard's your option. If it was a different player, maybe. But Wingard, certainly, I have not considered him at all this season. I certainly would be wary about that.
You took the words right out of my mouth there, Dunny, playing Essendon this week. Lock the key hold on Mundy. And I'm not just saying that because Essendon's so crap right now. If you look back round 9, the Dockers played Essendon over here in at Marvel Stadium. Mundy scored 141 points. It's his second top of the year. He's got a bit of a history of torching the Bombers. He averages 106 over his career against the Dons, which is his highest average against any opposition. Pretty confident in a decent score coming out of old Mundos this week against the Bombers.
All right, let's move on to the captain's corner. I've done a wee bit of research and noticed that Maxi Gorn does not actually like playing Sydney a heap. His last 3 against them have included an 82 and a 96. So that's potentially opened up the options for your VC and C combo this week. Of course, Sydney's rucks this year has been poorer than in previous years, so you might still decide that Gorn into Grundy is a sure thing, but if that's the case, you probably don't listen to much of this segment anyway. I'll give you some other little nuggets that I found. Probably the one that stood out the most being Patrick Cripps. Against St Kilda, his career average against them, 136. What? Yes, that's right, 136. 172, 90, 124, 157, 156, and 116. So 50% of his games against St Kilda, 150 plus. He's playing the second game of the round at 145 on Saturday afternoon. So very good VC option there. And another one, Patrick Dangerfield. His last 6 against Brisbane Lions, 114, 112, 154, 131, 165, and 117. So 3 of his last 4 games against Brisbane have delivered 130 plus points. Of course, Brisbane's a much better side than when they formerly faced them. So take that with a little bit more of a grain of salt than potentially some of the other opposition averages, but it is still good to know. Those are probably my top 2 non-Grundy VC options. Cripps may even pip Grundy just because he plays earlier, so you could go Cripps into Grundy if you liked. Grundy certainly also likes playing Adelaide, so he's got 114, 104, 103, and 141 against Adelaide. He should definitely be in the mix either as your VC or your C. I think the question is just, do you go, Cripps into Grundy, Dangerfield into Grundy, or Grundy to someone else? If you want to give Grundy the first shot at your vice captaincy, which a lot of people do because his ceiling is so high that it makes a lot of sense, then I think your 2 best backup options for the week are probably Nat Fyfe at the best option. Against Essendon, his last 6, 129, 121, 99, 121, 120, and 101. So his lowest score being a 99, 4 scores above 120. That's the type of consistency that you like as your backup captain. And then it's hard to go past McRae. So McRae against GWS, last time he played them, scored 120. And McRae, as I mentioned earlier in the show, highest averaging player who's not Gorn and Grundy, so is perennially good captaincy option. Any other thoughts or comments about the captaincy that you gents want to throw in there?
Gee, I thought Gorn would have been an absolute lock and throw away the key, not even worry about your captain. But those numbers do worry me a bit there. bit of a surprise. But I think I'll probably be while you were talking there, I've actually clicked on Cripps as my VC. That was enough to convince me. And I also do like your Grundy call. He does like playing against Adelaide. Not sure which Ruckman Adelaide will be going with this week, whether they bring Riley O'Brien back or stick with Jacobs. We'll just have to see how that goes. But I think Nat Fyfe, sorry again, Faz, could have an absolute field day against the Bombers at home. He probably got the 3 votes against the Saints last week in a side that only just lost. He was just phenomenal in that one.
All right. And that wraps up the round 22 episode. So good luck for everyone playing in prelim finals, especially if you've got some cash on the line, as I know a few of our listeners do. Faz, anything to add on the sign-off, mate?
I was just having a bit of a chat before the episode about our plans for the final lap of the season. Mm-hmm. It's pretty excited to see how that all comes together.
Yep.
Make sure you tune in next week, everyone, and we've got something a bit different for you to look forward to.
Thanks, Faz. Thanks for drumming up some interest in that, especially because the listenership drops off a little bit. It'll be a little bit of a review of the season that's been, and considering it's our tougher season, I'm expecting a lot of good lessons learned. Sonny, how about yourself, mate? Any final thoughts?
Probably just hang in there, everyone, even if you are out. Keep going for your final rank and get the best scores that you can. And if you've run out of trades, don't worry. I'm sure you're not the only one. There's plenty of people out there who've run out. Cause as you said, it's been a really tough year and we've had to do a lot more adjusting than what we normally would. So good luck, everyone, and I hope you make it through awesome. The grand final.
Thank you both again. And to our listeners, catch you next week for one last show. See ya.
Bye.
Bye.